All right, good morning, Calvary Northwest Bellingham. It's good to be back. Before I start reading, I just want to say thank you for all the years that you have stood with us in prayer, in giving, in standing with us, and my wife and I are deeply grateful for your part in allowing us to be a part of what God's doing in other parts of the world. Let's read Matthew 25, and we'll just read the first four verses, starting with verse 14 through 18. Matthew 25, 14 through 18. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2, and to another, 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Let's pray. Lord, we look to your word today, even as the song we sang about word of God speak to us and come and help us to see you again. We ask you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, would you bring revelation this morning to each heart, every person that is listening, that is here today. Lord, we want to ask that you would be glorified. We want to be more like you, Lord. Whatever that takes, Lord, whatever it means, Lord, we just say, have your way in us. You're the potter, and we're the clay. And we just come waiting to receive from you today, from your living word. We love you, Lord. We thank you for another day to be alive, to be children of the Most High God. What a privilege. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, Jesus is talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he's been going through several different parables, and he tells this story to illustrate a few kingdom principles. His aim is to teach his disciples the importance of being good and faithful servants with the gifts, with the abilities, and with the opportunities God has given us. Now, in this story, there's basically 4 different characters, the master and 3 servants. The master represents what God the Father is like, and the 3 servants represent 2 different kinds of professing Christians. The master called his servants and gave each one of them a different amount of money to take care of, entrusting his servants with the responsibility of being stewards of his things. Now, we know that a steward is one who takes care of the things or belongings of another. So what the master gave each servant was 3 talents of money, which was a measure that was considered to be about 20 years of a man's wages during those days. So it was a lot of money, right? So the master gave each man the right amount of money he needed to fulfill the work God had called him to do. To the first servant, the master gave 5 talents, which was worth about 100 years of a man's wages. How many people would like to have that? To the second servant, he gave 2 talents, about 40 years of a man's wages, and I'd like to have that one either too. And to the third servant, he gave 1 talent, about 20 years of man's wages, and that's not a bad deal. That's a blessing. So the third servant, might have felt a bit cheated, maybe treated a bit unfairly by the master because he didn't get the same amount as the first servant or the second servant. Now, the master was 100% fair in the way he gave out the talents to each servant, because he gave the talents according to each man's personal abilities and their calling that he had on their life. To the first servant, who had much ability and had a bigger calling, he gave 5 talents of money. To the second servant, with less ability and a different calling, was given 2 talents. And to the third servant, with the least natural ability, he was given 1 talent. Now, if the master would have given the man with great ability only one talent, that servant might have been quite frustrated, because he had great ability, great vision, but no real opportunities to step out and use the gifts and fulfill the calling that he felt was on his life. That servant, likewise, if the master would have given the third servant with the least natural ability and a different calling, all 5 talents, that servant might have been a bit overcome by the responsibilities and the opportunities set before him. So the master gave each man just the right amount of money he needed to do what God had called him to do. And we need to remember that as believers in the church. When we begin to compare ourselves with people who are more gifted than we are. You know, when I see somebody that's a really amazing singer, we can become discouraged, can't we? We can even become envious of other people's gifts. Or we can be envious of people who you think are 5-talent servants, while you see yourself as a 1-talent servant. Well, we know we should never compare ourselves among ourselves. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding." So we shouldn't be doing that. So we need to remember that God is always just in all of his ways. He has given to each one of us spiritual gifts, natural abilities, different opportunities, different responsibilities, different callings, different personalities, so that we will be able to fulfill his plan for our lives. And he knows exactly what gifts and abilities we need to do what he's called us to do. Because in his wisdom, he has chosen what roles we will all play in the body of Christ, in our communities, in our churches. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." So there's no mistakes. There's nobody that doesn't maybe fit. Or maybe, do I belong here? Am I part of Real Calvary Northwest? Can I really be a part here? Every part of the body is needed for the body to work properly. So if you feel like you're a 1-talent person, don't begin to look down upon yourself or see yourself as little in your own eyes. Don't believe the lie that you're really not important to God and to his kingdom plans. And don't begin to despise the way God has made you. Don't allow jealousy to creep into your hearts of other people's gifts or their abilities or their calling or their position. Instead, let's thank God for the way he's made us, realizing that we are unique people in God's plans. And all of us are a part of God's plan for the future of his kingdom in this world. So God loves us all the same, but we are different. We have different callings, different levels of abilities, different personalities. David said this in Psalm 139, "I will give thanks to you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well. So let's appreciate the gifts and abilities that God has given us and that God has given even to others. And let's set our hearts to use those gifts and abilities to serve our King in his future plans. Now in Matthew 25:19, the Bible says, "Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them." Well, friends, accountability is a fact of life. You can't get around it. It's given to us by God. One day, the whole world will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says in Romans 14, he says, "Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Inescapable. It's going to happen. So practice accountability now, because it's for your benefit. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad." So we shouldn't be trying to avoid accountability, because it's one of the ways God protects us from ourselves. And I didn't make a mistake. It's from ourselves. So what happens is the master returns and settles his accounts. Read with me, Matthew 25:20-21. "The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave." That's the thing Tom was talking about. "You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." So the first servant who got the 5 talents earns 5 more talents. The master is totally thrilled and says, "I will reward your faithfulness with greater responsibility. Enter into your master's joy." Matthew 25:22-23. "Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." So the second servant who got the 2 talents gained 2 more. And would you look at your Bible closely right now? Look at verse 21 and verse 23. They are exactly the same, except for the amount of talents. You see, these faithful servants put their money to work and doubled what they were given. So they showed an equal amount of faithfulness. Both servants received the exact same commendation from the master. "Well done, good and faithful slave." And the master did this because in the kingdom of God, growth is not measured by the amount gained, but it's measured by the percentage you increased. Meaning that God looks at what you have now compared to what you have when you started. Let's think about the story of the poor widow who gave 2 very small coins into the temple treasury, while many rich people gave large amounts. Jesus said in Luke 21, he saw a poor widow putting in 2 small copper coins, and he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." And so the poor widow gave more percentage-wise of her total than the rich did, because she gave from her all out of her poverty. So both of these servants, the 5-talent and 2-talent servant, had increased 100% by doubling what they were given. And the master viewed their earnings 100% the same and rewarded them equally. Now, what does that show us? Well, it shows us that even unequally gifted people can receive the same reward from God if they're equally faithful. You see, if you see yourself as someone with not a lot of gifts, and you're struggling maybe with feelings of, can I say, self-pity, or feelings of being useless, then remember the servant who earned the two talents and yet received the exact same reward as the servant who earned the five talents. Because if you're a two-talent servant, then you don't have to carry the same weight of responsibility that a five-talent servant has to carry, and yet you can receive the same reward. Yippee! Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, from everyone who has been given much, much more will be required. And to whom they entrusted with much, of him they will ask all the more. So the more we're given, the more we have to be responsible, right? Now, we need to remember here that God never plays favorites or shows partiality. He is just in all his ways. Moses said this, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is he. You see, God doesn't value us according to our gifts, our callings, our abilities, our personalities, or our money. He doesn't value us. He only values us because we are made in his image, his children, sons and daughters of the living God. He loves us all the same. He sees us as his wanted, loved, and accepted kids. And so we need to understand that we're just as important as Pastor Tom, who is the most important person in the world. So let's not be in competition to see who is the greatest in the kingdom, right? Instead, embrace your gifts. Embrace them and thank God for the way he's made you. Matthew 25:18. But he who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So this unfaithful servant buried his gift in the ground. He did nothing with the gift the master had given him. Now maybe he was struggling with fear of failure, or maybe it was fear of man, but whatever the reason, he responded in fear rather than faith to the challenge the master had given him. His fear kept him from seeing the value of the gift he had been given. Question to you and me. Do we see the value of the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the callings that we have been given as the Church of Jesus Christ? Or have we allowed fear to keep us from using what we have? Are we believing a lie that we're really not important and what we do with our life really doesn't matter to God? Are we believing a lie like that? Do we feel that we'll never really amount to anything in the church, and that no one really needs me? Well, if that's thoughts that are going through your mind, those are lies. Lies from the enemy. So if we're afraid to fail, and that is keeping us from taking steps of faith, then the Bible says we're in a trap. In Proverbs 29, it says, the fear of a man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. So if we're sinking into the miry pit of self-pity, believing that we are failures and that God doesn't really care about us, then we need a rescue from God. And this was probably what was happening in the third servant's life. You see, he lost his God-given opportunity to see God do a miracle. He hid his gift in the ground instead of using it for the glory of God. And so he was actually robbing God of the service he had the capability of doing. His unwillingness to use what the master had given him was seen as sin in God's eyes. You see, God expects us to use our God-given abilities for his kingdom work. In 1 Peter 4, Peter said this, as each one of you, one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Friends, are we employing, are we using our God-given gifts to their fullest potential? Are we being good stewards of the abilities, the calling, the strengths, the opportunities we've been given in the Christ? Do we value our gifts and see them as important to God's all people's kingdom purposes? Or are we acting more like the third servant, bearing our gifts because of fear of man or maybe the fear of failure? Paul says in Ephesians 5, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. He said in Colossians 4, he said, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Are we doing this with life's opportunities, both inside the church and outside, in our communities, in our families, in our workplaces? Friends, we can trust God to help us when we step out in faith and attempt the impossible. Do you know the God of the impossible loves to do the impossible? When we step into the Jordan River as it's running at flood stage? So let's believe God for his maximum to be accomplished through our lives. We need to understand that failure only really happens when we refuse to trust and obey God. We don't fail when we make a mistake. We don't fail when things don't turn out the way we wanted them to. But we do fail when we do not take the steps of faith that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us about. Making mistakes, as we all know, it's part of life. It's how we grow. It's how we learn. It's how we get better. And so we need to not be afraid to make a mistake or seemingly fail. A good man, a righteous man, might fall, but he gets up 7 times. So let's not be afraid to go out and take a risk. Matthew 25, verse 24 and 25. And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. You see, the servant had a wrong concept of what the master was like. And many times today, people that are not stepping out in faith also have wrong God concepts. They're not seeing God as he really is. This servant saw him as an unjust, hard man, reaping where he did not sow. And so what he was basically doing is he was blaming the master for his own negligence. Instead of admitting that he allowed fear to keep him from God's best, he was playing the blame game. Blaming others, blaming circumstances, even blaming God for his own problems. And friends, I think sometimes we do the same as believers. And it's got to hurt the heart of God. So let's not make excuses for our lack of courage and faith in the God of the impossible. You see, this wrong concept of the master caused this third servant to be afraid to take a risk and put his gift to work, his talent to work. But friends, taking risk is a part of walking by faith, living on the edge. In December, I went to the Congo. And we were asked to go up into, I'm going to say, a group of people who are tribal in Africa. They stand about this tall, and there starts with the letter P. Because it's on the internet, I'm not going to mention more than that. But in this time, we saw God opened the door for us to preach the gospel to these people where there was not a single believer among them. It was a risk. It was a risk because it's known that these people, because they live in the jungle and separated, they're hunters. And anyone who gets too close, you could become fair game. And the reality is, it was a risk. But you know something? It's a risk worth taking. You see, God's work is by faith. And success in faith can only come after attempts in faith have been made. See, if you never try, obviously, you're never going to succeed. So God has called us to live by faith, taking real risks for the kingdom of God. The third servant didn't use what the master had given him because he was afraid to fail. You see, his need to be successful in the eyes of men became more important to him than being obedient to God. And whenever our need to be successful outweighs our commitment to trust and obey God, the result is compromise. Instead of stepping into that risky place, we choose to stay in our nice little comfort zones, doing the same things we've done so many times before. Now, it's not wrong if it's led by the Lord. It is wrong if you are hiding from what God is calling you to do. Friends, if we're caught in the trap of the fear of man and are no longer really taking steps of faith, then I want to say Jesus is here to set you free from that fear. Because he wants to see you reach your full potential. He wants to see you fulfill the call of God he has on your life. So don't allow fear or unbelief to keep you from moving into the new things God has for the future. Remember that being successful in God's eyes is much more important than being successful in the world's eyes. So don't make worldly success your goal. Make obedience your goal, and God will use you to do great things, things you could never imagine. So don't allow a wrong concept of God's character or a wrong concern about your own reputation to keep you from taking the risks that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about taking in the future. Amen?
Amen?
Matthew 25, verse 26 and 27. But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest." You see, the master saw right through the third servant's excuse, saying, "Well, why didn't you just put the money in the bank?" That was the obvious answer to his problem. He could have at least collected the interest, some gain, but he didn't do that because he had another problem. He was lazy. And the master saw his neglect of duty as sin. Proverbs 18 says this, "He who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." Don't be a slacker. James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." You see, neglect of duty is really selfishness because it robs God and others of the service we can provide. So let's not be lazy in the use of God's gifts, God's abilities, God's talents that he's given us. We need to grow up in our faith and pursue the will of God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Paul said to Timothy, who was sometimes a timid young man, he said, "Fan into flame. Get the flame going. Get it burning. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of the elders' hands." This speaks about using and exercising your gifts so that you can become better at blessing your fellow brother or your fellow sister or the church as a whole. So in order to do this, we need to be secure in God's love for ourselves, so we can step boldly into the new things he's speaking to us about, fanning into flame the spiritual gifts, the abilities, and the opportunities he gives us for his kingdom work. Matthew 25, verse 28 to 30. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and you have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so in these verses, we get the final outcome of the third servant's life. He loses everything. And friends, if we do not take the special opportunities that God has placed in our lives, if we do not use the gifts and the abilities, at least in the opportunities, we could be in danger of losing them. That's what happened to the third servant. He got the one talent he was given, it was taken from him, given to another. So the master rebuked him and took the talent of gold that was in his use and gave it to the one who already had 10. Because to the one who's faithful, more and more and more will be given. Jesus said this in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. Are you faithful with the little? Are you faithful with the little God gives you? He says, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. So if we want to be trusted with more of God's true spiritual riches, then we need to be faithful with the little we have right now. And that is exactly what was happening in the first two servants' or slaves' life. Their faithfulness resulted in them gaining a greater capacity to handle responsibility. The master said, you've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And this is what will happen to you and me if we are good and faithful servants of the things God has for us right now, right at this time, in the place where you live, among your family, in your church, right where you're at. So if you think you're a young man like me, you think you deserve more recognition, pride, then make sure you're being faithful with what the Lord has given you now. And let's learn from the mistakes of the third servant, what he made. Let's remember, we cannot be lazy in the work of the Lord. Be diligent. Show yourself a workman who correctly handles the word of truth. Don't play the blame game. Don't blame others for your lack of courage or faith to trust God for the new things he has for you. And don't allow fear of failure to keep you, or fear of men for that matter, to keep you from stepping out and taking necessary steps towards the new work the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about. Don't start thinking that your gifts are not important. Well, I'm not really important. I don't sing well. I can't preach. And I'm a nobody here. That's a lie. You are all in part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ builds itself up as each part does its work. And all of us, every one of us, have a part to play in the work right here in Calvary Northwest, in your communities, in your jobs. We all have a part to play. So don't believe the lie that you're not important or that your gifts are not really valuable or that God doesn't really care about what I do with my life. It's a lie. Let's not make success in the eyes of man as our goal, but obedience to God as our goal. See, it's better to be seen as a failure in man's eyes than to disappoint our loving Father who continues to reach out and say, continue. He always keeps us going. Instead, let's be people who are boldly taking risks that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about. Using our gifts, our abilities, our opportunities, our personalities, our callings to serve others right here. Doing our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth, who correctly uses the gifts, the abilities, the opportunities that God gives us. Are we doing that? You see, one day, like Paul, we should be saying, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm not going to turn to the left. I'm going for it. Straight on, whatever it takes. And then one day we will hear those words. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's pray. Lord, you know each one of us. This morning, you know exactly where we're at. You know our strengths, you know our weaknesses. You know the times when we've been obedient and times when we haven't. You know the fears that we sometimes struggle with and the faith steps that sometimes we've made. And Lord, we come to you today and we would say, Lord, if there's any fear of man or fear of failure in us, would you deliver us from that fear? Would you put in us a new measure of the fear of God in our lives? Would you give us a new concept about your greatness, your majesty, your goodness, your love, your kindness, and your kingdom purposes so that we can be faithful for you, God? Lord, we need your help. And we cry out to you this morning. Would you change us from the inside out, putting a boldness and a courage so that we will obey the next thing you tell us to do. Lord, we love you. We love you. We're here today because we love you. And we just ask you to help us now, Lord, to be more effective, to be more fruitful, to be more obedient to everything you tell us to do. To value our gifts, to value them, our abilities, to value the opportunities you've given us, being thankful because we're fearfully and wonderfully made and you've not made any mistakes. You have decided exactly what we need to fulfill the call of God that will bring you the most glory. And God, that's what we want. And so we pray, do a new work in our hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name.